Well, I'd sure be grateful for your prayers. Need the Lord to bless His Word this morning. I'm thankful that we can have something within us that'll anchor us, that'll keep us through the tests and the storms of life. Whether we're up on the mountain or we're down in the valley, we can have something within us. A peace not depending on my troubles relenting. It's not dependent on the conditions or the way folks around me treat me, but I'm thankful that we can have something within us. I'd like to begin, I believe, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and 34 says, "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." I'd like to tie with that, before we comment on it, I'd like to look at Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians 3 and 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." My burden this morning is about things which are above. You know, this world is so earthbound, and the pursuit of the things of this life and the things of that I can, materialism, and the things that I can accumulate and the things that I can accomplish and the things that I can do. Paul here talking about the saints, he said that there was a time and a place that I was in need and was in prison, and you had compassion on me, and you were willing to give of your means. You were willing to empty of yourselves, because you had something within you. You had an assurance within you. You had a confidence within you. That he went on to say, don't cast away that confidence. Folks, if there's something that is so valuable to us today, it is our confidence. We can have today a confidence in our calling and election, being sure and being clear. That we don't have to go through life with a cloud over our head, a cloud over our testimony, with wonders and doubts and worries and fears of what's it going to be when I draw my last breath? What's it going to be in the hereafter? Of all the mysteries that mankind has pondered, they've never been able to figure out this one. But folks, we can have a confidence. We can have an assurance today. The burden that I have this morning is nothing new. But I would to God that we be encouraged this morning to look up. Encouraged this morning to lift up our eyes. David said in one place of God that he is the lifter up of my head. Do you ever feel like in life you need your head lifted up? Do you ever feel like sometimes the weights of the trials of life begin to weigh you down, and you begin to get into a place where all you're doing is looking at the troubles that are all around you? It's so easy to do. Peter found himself in that place. How easy we can look on Peter and say, "Oh, Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing looking at the waves and getting all worried and afraid? A little bit ago you weren't fearful." But you know, whenever I get into my test and my trials, the tendency is to begin to worry and fret and be disturbed and be troubled in my mind and my spirit. You know, it can be easy for, in those seasons and those times, beset by the cares of life and by the troubles that every one of us are going to go through, that I begin to focus more on those things. I begin to look more at the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and the hardships of life than I do at the reward. You know, I go to work every week, and I'm thankful for my job, but I don't go just for the fun of it. I don't go just because I can't think of anything I'd rather do. I go for a hope of a reward. I go because of an assurance that after 2 weeks' time, there's going to be a paycheck waiting for you. There's something that I'm working for and working towards. And it gives me something when I get up in the morning and I don't really feel like going in. And I'm not complaining about my job. I just want us to realize this morning, we like to be able to have something to look ahead to. The parable of the man who was looking for laborers in the vineyard, and he went out and he was seeking those who would come and work. But he gave them a promise of something. He gave them an assurance of a payday that is to come. If you come and work for me, you'll receive a penny at the end of the day. You're going to receive payment for what you're going through. You know, sometimes we can begin to get discouraged and troubled or depressed or however you want to consider it. Whenever we just look at today, I just look at what's right in front of me today and what I've got to get through right now. And the Lord is saying, I want you to lift up your head for a little bit. I want you to look away from all of this for a moment and look at the reward. Don't lose sight of the reward. Don't lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing. You know, the enemy wants to get us all focused on the sacrifice. He wants to get us focused on the self-denial, on the hardship, on the trial, on the tribulation. But that's not what salvation is all about. Salvation, you've got to be willing to give up your rags. You got to be willing to give up the mire of sin and all the trinkets that were cheap trinkets of sin. But it's only that you can gain something better. It's only that I let go of those things to inherit something so much greater and more wonderful. Thank the Lord this morning that we've got a reason for living. We've got a reason to get up and keep going in the morning. Folks, if there was nothing beyond this life, for one, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, you already know what that recipe makes. It's misery. There's such an emptiness. You know, the philosophy and the mindset of our world today, how depressing, how sad, how empty, and how meaningless. By chance and random happenings, we happened into existence on this earth, and when we pass off the scene, that's all there is to it. No real reason or purpose to living, but I'm so glad today that we've got something beyond this right here and right now to live for. Folks, if there was nothing beyond this life, as a Christian, as a child of God, I would still have to say without question or hesitation, I'd take this way again. I'd choose this way 1,000 times over, because this is the only true peace that I found, dear Lord, is in you. The only real satisfaction, the only real contentment that I found is in the Lord. Folks, it's payment. There's reward in living for the Lord. There's benefit in living for the Lord. To be able to have that confidence, that assurance, the peace of the Lord to flood our soul. You know, it's a taste of heaven. It's a taste, the scripture says, of the Spirit, that it is the earnest of our inheritance. It is until the redemption of the purchased possession. It is the earnest, the down payment. It is a taste of what is to come. And so if we are citizens of this heavenly country, we are enjoying its benefits today. We are enjoying, we have access as citizens of this heavenly country. We have access into the benefits that it affords us. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3 and Beginning with 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's where their mind is. That's the extent of it. That's what they're living for, is the enjoyment that I can get out of life right here. And it is the pursuit of whatever selfish ambition or desire that I can contrive in my mind and in my heart, I'm going to follow after it. I'm going to pursue after it. What is it that's often said to us in graduation speeches? Follow after your heart. Pursue whatever it is that you want. Whatever it is that you want to be, pursue it, and you can follow after and obtain it and all of that kind of stuff. Folks, there's something so much greater than this life to set our sights on. Let's not set our sights on the things that are in this life. As it says of many here, they mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, are we looking for it today? Are we looking forward to something that is still to come? Are we looking for something that's greater even ahead of us? The scripture says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. Folks, we're going, we're working today for a reward of something that's greater than anything this world can afford us. We're working for something that's greater than anything we can find in this life. It says of that, and if we have time, we'll maybe read it in Revelation, that in that place, in the abode of God, in heaven, where we too can one day reign with the Lord, there's no need of the sun, because the Lamb is the light. The sun would just be a dimness in comparison to the light of heaven. Folks, if we've got our face and our eyes set towards heaven, the end of that path and the progression of that path should be an increase even more and more of brightness along the way. Our conversation means our citizenship. Our citizenship is not in this earth. That's not the extent of it. Our benefits of citizenship is in heaven. And that's what we're looking for. Whenever we read of the heroes of faith in their time, they were willing to deny themselves. Moses was willing to deny the benefits of being Pharaoh's son, to endure suffering with the people of God. Others of the faith read about in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that they professed themselves gladly or boldly, that they were strangers and pilgrims because they looked for something else. They were looking for something greater. They were looking for something beyond this. I don't believe this means that we are, as children of God, to go through life with depressed and sad looks because I'm not in heaven yet. Because I can't even enjoy life here. I gotta go around. No, on the contrary. The opposite of that, I ought to have such a hope within me, such an assurance, such a peace, such a joy at what I have ahead of me. The Apostle Paul, with all that he went through, yet was reminded and reminds us. The eighth chapter of Romans. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm going through some things. Are you this morning? Lift up your head. You know, I believe it's good for us sometimes, and more often rather than less, to stop and remember, to stop and meditate. This isn't all there is to it. I can't just come in every day just laying one brick on top of another and no idea what I'm building and what I'm after and what the end goal is and what it is that I'm working for and why it is that I'm telling myself, no, you can't roll over and sleep another hour. You gotta get up. You got something to do. You've got a responsibility here. You've got something that you're working for. We all like to work for a reward. What a reward we have waiting for us. Lord, help us, as the song says, number 213. Ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, why saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow, he's bidding thee now. Ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Courage, my brother, right onward pursue. Ever keep heaven in view. Let's turn to the 14th chapter of John. John chapter 14 and the first verse. Jesus, in making preparations for his departure, he had talked to his disciples different occasions, trying to foretell what was to happen, that he would be offered up, that he would be raised on the third day, and yet they scarcely understood what it was that he meant, what was going to happen to him, and what he meant by this temple being rebuilt, and what he meant by going away. Let's begin actually in the 13th, the preceding chapter of the 13th, beginning in the 36th verse. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Lord, you've been talking about going away from us. Lord, we're your followers, we're your disciples. But yeah, you said there's some place that you're going. Lord, where is it? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You don't understand what's about to happen. You're going to be perplexed and frightened whenever I'm taken and crucified, and whenever you see me taken up, you're not going to understand. You're going to feel an agitation and a trouble. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be disturbed. There's a reason for this. There's a purpose for it. I go back unto the Father to prepare a place for you. I've still got you in mind. I'm going to ready your reward, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, it's hard for us sometimes, and I don't know how often you think about it, but it's hard for us to be able to stop and imagine, what's heaven going to be like? What's it going to be over there? So different than what I am used to and what I see. The scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight, and it must be so, that it's not by what I see with these eyes, but it's by faith. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. He knew where he had come from, the glory that he had with his Father. He knew what was being prepared for us. And it's almost as if to say, if only you knew. If only you could see. Don't worry. Just hold on. Just be patient. I'm going to prepare a place for you, so that you can be with me where I am. Let's look at Psalms, the 49th chapter. I want to maybe back up just a bit. Psalms 49. The 10th verse, for he seeth the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death doth feed on them. You know, you see sometimes, maybe it's a stadium, it's a hospital, it's a street, it's whatever that's named after someone. You go through the area of Nicholasville, Kentucky, and you'll see on many signs, on many buildings, many streets, and along one certain stretch of the highway, you'll see a man's name with a successful railroad enterprise or company that he built over the years, and a lot of wealth and prosperity that he accumulated. You drive by and you can see his name on the building, and you can see the glass front and hangar with his jet and his helicopters and his prop planes and everything else that he accumulated over time. But you know where he is now? He lies beneath the sign that bears his name. As all men do, the rich and the poor. And he leaves it to those that are behind. But the scripture says, man goeth to his long home. I'm so thankful there's something more abiding. There's something more lasting and enduring. We have an enduring substance in heaven. So the scripture that we began with says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's lift up our eyes and be encouraged this morning that I not get my focus so set on this life. Lord, help me from time to time. Lord, help me to stop. Help me to meditate. Help, Lord, remind me from time to time of heaven. Remind me, Lord, of the reward that I'm working for. There's a song that says, I wouldn't trade heaven for the world. If I could just keep in vision and keep in view what heaven's going to be, what a moment will be, that moment whenever I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, he said, the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared. Just a moment of glimpsing his face, a moment of the relief and the joy, I am convinced that our mortal bodies would not be able to contain it, would not be able, I think our hearts would burst if we were not in the presence of the Lord and out of this body that goes back to the dust. Just a moment to realize I made it. To realize I'm there in my long home. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Lord, help us not to lose sight. You know, you take a camera with an adjustable lens and you can focus it on the micro setting. You can focus it on what's right. You want to get a picture of a small flower or something delicate, something that's small. You put it on that setting and it focuses in on that. You lift it up to something and it's just a blur. It's just something, it's out of focus. You can't really see it. And we can go through life, if we're not careful, the same way. That I get my eyes, I get my vision, my eyesight set on the micro setting. And I focus so much on the day to day and the trouble that I'm in right now, the trial that and the suffering that I'm going through right now, that I try to look at anything else and it's just a blur. Oh Lord, help us whenever we're in this life. Lord, help me to be able to adjust that zoom. Lord, help me to be able to set it on the infinity setting, on the eternal setting. Don't set your sights and your affections on things that are below. That's so fleeting. Jesus said, if you set up treasures on earth, thieves are going to break through, and moths are going to corrupt, and rust is going to corrupt, and all these things are, it's so fleeting. It's over so quickly, and yet that is the extent to which many people live. That's the furthest out that many people ever look, is the here and now. Lord, help us to set our sight on the eternal things, on the things that are above. and not on this earth. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Devil will try to tell us this life is a life of sacrifice and self-denial, and certainly there is sacrifice and self-denial involved if we want to take up our cross and follow the Lord. But you know, you follow the Lord, you're not going to be the only one sacrificing and denying yourself. People are going to do it for what's important to them. You ever seen the stadiums for a big game whenever it's 5 degrees below zero and you still see it almost packed with people? 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 24th verse says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Remember what we read in Psalms. Their thought within is that this is going to abide forever. I'm going to have this house and these things and all forever. It is my forever home. And I'm going to name lands after me and buildings after me and streets and the things that for man is success. For man's way of thinking, you've reached the pinnacle now. And yet it says they do those things. They deny themselves. They get up early and go to work, or get up early and go hunting. To be able to have, and I don't have anything wrong with work, of course, and with hunting, but to be able to have a trophy rack hanging on the wall, I'll be willing to deny myself. I'd be willing to deny myself some comfort and go out and sit and shiver hanging on a tree for 6 hours hoping something comes through. They do it for a corruptible crown. Folks, what should we be willing to put in for an incorruptible? For one that doesn't fade away, that doesn't pass, that thieves aren't able to take from us. It's not going to change with the changing of times. It is eternal. Lord, help us this morning to be reminded of that which I believe we all already know. There's something beyond this. Lord, help us to set our sights on things which are above. That which we labor for, that it be for a more enduring substance. We are to live this life, and we're to be able to enjoy it with the graces of God. We're to be able to enjoy it with that foretaste of heaven divine, the grace of God working within my soul. To be able to enjoy life and be grateful for the things the Lord provides along the way. But Lord, help us to never lose sight on what we're really working for. Let's turn now to Revelation before we close. The book of Revelation gives us a couple glimpses beyond the veil. Think also of the scripture that talks about, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I see in part, but the time is coming that I'm not going to just see in part." The Lord has given us enough to believe. The Lord has given us enough of an assurance, if nothing more than the words that He spoke. "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will return and receive you unto myself." I can stand on that and know, though I don't see it, though it's hidden sometimes from my view, we must walk by faith and not by sight. By the spiritual eyes and not by the carnal and the temporal. A little bit of a glimpse that the Lord gave us. And you know, I hope every one of you have experienced the closeness of the Lord. I hope you are today. I hope you're feeling His presence and His joy. Because you know, every one of us can. Every one of us can. It's about so much more than just going through the forms of religion. It's about so much more than just coming to church or being some member of a denomination and going through a list of rules. It's about a relationship with your friend. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. That is not afar off. And I hope you know the feeling of the closeness of the Lord. I'm not going to say that I feel it all the time, nor promise you that you will. There are times whenever we say, Lord, where are you? Times whenever I say, Lord, the waves, they're all around me. But oh, from time to time, whenever the Lord will come and just pour out His Spirit, maybe it's in prayer, in a service. I've been driving down the road before and the Lord will come and start talking to me. The Lord will bring a scripture. The Lord will just open up my mind and it's just what I need at the time. And I'll tell you, it is the most real presence, as if He's sitting right there and you just start talking to the Lord and the Lord's talking with you and you wonder, Lord, how long is this going to last? Lord, I don't want this to go away. It's wonderful. It's glorious. And folks, it's what I'm talking about with a foretaste of heaven divine, the earnest of our inheritance. We can have a taste of that here on this earth in communion with the Lord, in communion through His Spirit, that the Lord can give us a little taste. But you know, it's almost as if the Lord says, I know you can't handle very much. I'm going to give you just a taste. I know your body is not able to contain the joy that I have for you, but let me give you a little bit. Let me give you the portion that you need for right now. You know, whenever we step over there, if we're faithful to the Lord and hear Him say, well done, you know there's not going to be any restriction. There's not going to be any limit. There's not going to be any, you can't take, that's just too much. There's not going to be a time whenever we sang the song, today you're up on the mountain, tomorrow you might be down in the valley. You know, if there's valleys, they're filled with flowers and streams and trees and everything else. There's no valleys in the sense of hardship, of trial, of struggling in our minds, of battles of the mind and of spirit and feeling the oppression of the enemy. Well, let's just read a little bit about this glimpse that John had. Revelation chapter 7. After this, verse 9, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These who have been through great tribulation, some far more than anything we have or perhaps ever will know, those who have suffered great affliction, persecution, have been martyred for the cause of Christ, we don't hardly know today what it means to truly suffer from hunger or from thirst, but there are many in this world that do. There are many who know the pains of hunger every day. You know, for them as well as for us is the promise that there is a day, there is a place that every one of us are afforded the opportunity to enjoy, to inherit, where we won't suffer of sorrow, the feelings of loneliness. We won't feel the sting of rejection of others. We won't feel regret. Sorrow, tears will be wiped away from our eyes, and I have to believe in a moment. The tears will be wiped away from our eyes, and we'll be before the throne. before the very splendor and presence of God from which emanates His love, His grace, His mercy, but now in no partial supply or measure, yet now in the very fullness of the glory of God, in the very fullness of the sense and the feeling, overflowingness of His love, a realization, I believe, of the mercy that He's shown on us, a realization and a thanksgiving that, Lord, You are worthy and You alone. Salvation and glory and honor unto You, Lord. You're the one that's brought me unto this place. You know, many people today want to believe that they're going to this place. And many families of deceased like to sit around and imagine at a time of their loved ones passing, as well we might understand, they're surely in a better place. Like to believe that they're in a better place now and in a place of joy and happiness and not suffering, but it's not always so. For every individual, it's not so, and that's not the burden of the message this morning. But folks, we can be partakers with the Lord. We, everyone, desire to have a reward for our labors. Folks, it's coming. Be willing to endure in this life. Be willing to say no to the things that the enemy would try to bring to defile us of our hope by offering us fulfillment and gratification here, but that would cost us our eternal gratification. Let's be willing to say no. Let's be willing to lift up my eyes and look for things that are above and say, that's where I'm setting my affections. That's where I've got my eyes. I can't allow myself to be dragged down by something here in this life, by something that is not eternal. You can read also, if you wish, in your own time, the 21st chapter of Revelation gives some more picture of around the throne and gives a picture of what it'll be to be there. I remember reading a story. I'm always a little hesitant about some of these stories or St. Peter jokes and things like that. But this one struck me. A story of a man who was determined when he went to heaven, he wanted to take some of his possessions with him. He had a lot of gold, a lot of silver, gold bullions, and so he wanted to take along his suitcase filled with gold bullions. But whenever he was stopped at the gate, they said, we've got to inspect that. And I understand and will clarify again, this isn't scriptural, but I want you to get the point of it. As he opened the suitcase and showed the bars of gold bullion, he said, that? You wanted to bring pavement to heaven? That's what the streets are made of here. That's common substance. And yet that's what you set your sight on and as the most valuable thing that you could imagine. And yet in heaven it's just the common pavement on the road. That's what you had your heart set on? Set your affection on things that are above. Though we may not be able to see it or even grasp anywhere, we see through a glass darkly today. But Lord, inspire our hearts this morning, young and old alike. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on things above, not to be dragged down by things that are in this life only, but a more enduring substance, a more enduring hope that we everyone can have. Don't cast away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, folks, one day. And we could no doubt go around and reminisce and think of those that have been among us. You ever stop and ask yourself or wonder, what are they seeing right now? What's he looking at right now? If I could just see through their eyes at this moment, but it's not our time. We, like all they who have gone before us, must endure our time here on this earth. Endure, I say, for there is endurance and patient waiting for the Lord. But we must wait our time with faith and with bright anticipation in our soul. for that day when we too can hear the Lord say, well done. Because it's at the end of the road for every one of us if we don't cast away our confidence. What we hope for, what we sing about, the songs of heaven can seem sometimes far away. And yet we get a taste of it from time to time, a glimpse of it within our soul. You know what it does to me? It makes me feel homesick. Whenever I'm in a foreign country for especially over a week, week and a half, by the time I get to 2 weeks, there's a gnawing sense of homesickness, of things that look familiar, of things that sound familiar, and familiar voices that I know, and familiar foods and tastes and things like that, that my mind just so easily starts going to home. Folks, our conversation is not in this life. Our conversation is in heaven. And I believe that the Lord would have every one of us to have a taste of homesickness. It's not going to be something where I imagine in this life, I can't. You folks want to go to church? What do you do there? You just sit around and sing and pray? No thanks. And then somehow I expect when I get to heaven, the things that we were reading about here, that I'm going to find enjoyment and pleasure and satisfaction of within. It's going to be when in scenes of glory I sing a new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have known so long. And yet in fullness of joy at that time. So I pray this morning, Lord, it would encourage each one of us to lift up our eyes to things that are above. You pray for me. Amen.